Humanitarian Radio with your hosts Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
Hello, Tony. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. You know, we've got a really interesting guest today, so we're not going to do a lot of chit-chat because we want to bring on a guy named Jeffrey Bowman. He is running a company called Bingo Boy, which is just a hysterical concept, but we wanted to bring him on the show today because we're constantly talking about ways that you can raise money and do great things for your fellow man, and he's got a lot of suggestions and a lot of ideas, and we want to showcase the things that he's got to say.
You know, first we want to talk about something that we have going on, our own actual fundraiser in July.
Yes. We have a good friend of the show. In fact, you may have heard Mike Precise from Raw Feed Radio. Mike has a medical condition that is leaving his sight diminishing, and he's a young gentleman. He's under 30 and very limited time to continue to have his sight. So we've decided as Humanitarian Radio to take on Mike's task of raising $20,000 so that he can get his sight back. And we'd love for you guys to all participate with us and help even with small, you know, dollar, $5 donations. We're goaled to raise $20,000. We need to raise it by August. Mike's in a position where time is of the essence. And so we're going to do a fundraiser next month in Hollywood, do a theater presentation. The band is going to perform, the band St. Tone, that is going to perform, and we're looking for other people who would be willing to perform with us and volunteer to help us and raise awareness and get everybody on board.
And also sponsors.
Yeah.
That want to get involved with this. It's a very unique situation because he does have the ability to correct his sight before he fully loses it. But at this point, he is legally blind.
Right.
And unfortunately, or fortunately, there is a way to correct it, but it has to be done within a certain time limit.
And he's losing more vision on a daily basis. And,
yeah.
And other vision issues are coming up every day. He's, you know, grabbing more problems and more problems. And then here's another twist to this. Mike has a twin brother with the same eye disease.
Right.
So our goal is to get Mike taken care of and fixed first, and then see if we can help out his brother as well. So talk about a humanitarian effort, people. It would be just dandy if we could, in the next month, raise $20,000 for Mike's surgery. And imagine if we could raise another $20,000 for his brother.
Right. I mean, the fact that the thought that you can actually give someone their sight back is really, really an amazing thing. And that's what gets me excited about it because he's just such a great guy, and it's someone that we can really help out, and I'm really, really honored to be able to do this for him. So,
well, and what Mike does for a living is social media. So he needs his vision to see the computer because that's his job.
Exactly. I was going to say that he's a social media expert, and being a social media expert, you definitely need to be able to see the computer and really be able to be on it. And his sight is something that
it's
truly,
critical.
Truly needs.
It's critical for this kid's career, and he's a young guy. He's just starting out. He's got a long way to go. And so we are totally on board and behind him. I spoke to Mike yesterday. We're going to start a Kickstarter for him or one of those types of fundraisings as well and see if we can really pull this together and make a difference in someone's life. Talk about doing something that feels good for your soul. Let's get these boys seeing again. So next week we'll give you more information on where the event is going to be and when, how you can donate if you are from another part of the country and can't make the event, and also whether it's a Kickstarter or a crowdfunder. We'll be putting that information on our website as well, on the St. Tone, SaintTone.com website, and on the Humanitarian Radio website and Facebook. I also wanted to just mention, too, that if you check out Positive Radio, you will hear an interview from Mr. Tony St. Tone.
Yeah, we did an interview this past week.
And they're going to start playing four of your songs on the radio station.
That is correct.
We are going to link up with that radio station. They're going to be marketing, and we're going to be putting spots on our show for them. And we really encourage you to get connected to Positive Radio.
So, you know, talking about positive radio, here's a song that I wrote that I'm going to send out. This is a song called Daydreamer that you can find on www.sainttone.com. Check it out, and we will be right back after the song with Mr. Jeffrey Bowen. That was Daydreamer from Saint Tone. You can find that song at www.sainttone.com. The lyrics are there. There's a bunch of videos. Really cool stuff to check out when you get a chance. We're going to be right back with our guest today, Jeffrey Bowen.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. It's not the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmation wrapped in pop rock song.
That best case scenario.
It's motivational musician.
I want to hear it full blast
stereo.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.fainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Okay, and we were back with Jeff Bowman. Welcome, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fabulous.
I'm doing excellent. It's a beautiful Sunday. We are in Southern California. I understand that you are in Southern California also.
I am.
Yeah, so you can't complain too much, and if you do, the rest of the country really doesn't want to hear it.
I know. They don't want to hear how 80 is too hot for us, do they?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, no humidity. It's too nice. Yeah, I trust me. I get it enough from my friends that live in Connecticut.
So, Jeff, I was telling people a little bit ago while we were ready for you to come on that you had started out in your world of being a bit of a humanitarian and turning it into a business. And I think that it's really cool that people are able to do that, is do something that helps other people all the while helping themselves, because you can't help other people unless you've helped yourself first. So tell us a little bit, Jeff, about how you came into the world you are currently in.
Well, the Bingo Boy, which is the name of my company, and we produce, well, obviously it's in the title, bingo events, that started... So I've been doing it for about 16 years now, and I was actually an event coordinator with a charity out here called AIDS Project Los Angeles, and I was putting on events that were, somewhere around $1,000 a person. They were pretty well known for their huge events with, one event I did had Elizabeth Taylor and Magic Johnson and Jodie Foster and Al Pacino. I mean, it was just crazy. And they were great, and, they raised a lot of money for the organization. But I kind of felt like they were out of touch with, I'm going to say, like, the real people out there that can't really afford to go to a $1,000 a person event. So I convinced them to make me, I made up the title, the Community Events Coordinator, and my job would be to go out into the community, restaurants and nightclubs and places like that, and see if these places would put on smaller events and give the proceeds to AIDS Project Los Angeles, which would spread the word, as well as, it wouldn't make $1 million, but it would serve a purpose of getting, a different demographic sort of aware of what APLA was doing.
Totally.
And actually that came to me because that's where I came from. I came from doing smaller events. The very first event I ever did, I think I was 19 or something, and I was working the graveyard shift at a Denny's in Fullerton, California, going to Cal State Fullerton, and we decided to raise money for a battered women's shelter and throw them a Christmas party because they weren't going to, really have Christmas. So we did some sort of weird games with the customers, guess how many jelly beans in the jar. I can't really remember what it was, but we raised a whole bunch of money, and we went out and we bought them. Each of the women got a blanket and some beauty products. The kids each got a pair of shoes, some sort of clothing, and a toy, and then we threw the party for them. And I remember standing back there when the party was going on, and the women were very emotional, and the kids were just so happy. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, like, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Who gets to do this? Like, I get to feel this amazing feeling right now. I mean, I felt like I was the selfish one because I got to be in this amazing situation where something really good was being done. So that's kind of where I came from, as far as creating, what I did. And bingo, I really had no interest in bingo.
I was going to ask really that question of how did you come about? I mean, obviously, bingo's been around for quite a while, and they're usually associated with, older people calling out a number. It's like 23.
In mobile home parks.
it's just not a big name.
I don't know who thought of it. I can't take the credit for thinking of let's do bingo. It was somebody at this coffee house that I went to, and, I was sort of talking with them and seeing, could we do something? And they said, why don't we do bingo? And I just said, okay. Like, really, it was that easy. Like, okay. And I came in, just a little bingo wheel, me standing at their bar, and I think there were, if I say 20 people, I might be exaggerating, you know, and I just sort of, you know, called out bingo numbers and had fun with them and all that, and that went on for about three, I came over there once a week, and it actually did, each week we got more and more people, and then somebody told me that there was a guy that worked there that did a drag character called the Fabulous Belair, and they said, why don't you have him do it with you? And I said, sure, okay, great. Right. Every decision I make is like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Uh-huh. Well, you were being easily led, and you just went with it.
But I think that's kind of how life is. I kind of, in my life, try to do that. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, hey, you want to drive your car off the cliff? Yeah, yeah, sure.
Right,
but
right.
I think that a lot of decisions could be either. I mean, why not? I just thought, why not? You know, if Belair is horrible and the crowd hates her or whatever, then fine. But it was awesome. And so now we got a drag queen up there calling bingo numbers, and more people are coming, more and more people are coming. And it just became this ridiculous, people were outside on cars playing bingo and on the sidewalk playing bingo. It was a really small place. I mean, maybe the capacity was like 35 or 40, and we pretty much surpassed that, you know, every time. So, let's see, I'm going to make a long story short. I ended up leaving AIDS Project Los Angeles, and I said to them, you know, you guys – you need to take over the bingo. And they said, eh, we don't really want to. And I said, oh, okay. And again, I don't know where I came from, but somehow I said, why don't we do it for a different charity each week? And I think when I look back on some of the decisions, I think, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, why would I think, where am I going to get the charities from, and where are the prizes going to come from? Because I've been getting the prizes out of this big closet they had at AIDS Project Los Angeles, where they had, you know, when you went to a big event, they gave you a gift bag. That's always the best part.
Right, right.
You know, at the Academy Awards, and there, you know, everyone's known. That's all the stuff that was in this closet was stuff from gift bags. You know, sunglasses and backpacks and DVDs and, you know, shampoo and stuff like that. And that's what I gave out. I think actually in the beginning, I gave like a keychain as a prize once. And if you saw the prize packages that the charities come up with now, you know, those were the innocent days when you could get away with stuff like that. But somehow it worked, and, you know, started getting charities in. And all I can say is 16 years later, I would say we've raised probably almost $5 million for every type of charity. We do every type of charity, not really political causes because that's a little bit too polarizing, but dog and cat rescues and AIDS charities, children's charities. We do schools. I mean, I don't know if people realize how much money the parents have to come up with for kids in preschool and elementary school, and you know, all the programs are paid for by the parents. So somewhere along the line, some smart parent got the idea, hey, let's do drag queen bingo as a fundraiser for a kid's school. And we did probably almost every elementary school, charter school, and all that in Los Angeles now.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And that pays for the janitor. It pays for the art supplies. It pays for the field trips. And I have to say, I give these parents a lot of credit. Back when I was a kid, it was a bake sale, and the idea of drag queen bingo for a kid's school, I think it's amazing, to be honest with you. I think it's, you know, it's sort of funny in a David Lynch sort of a way, but it is also pretty cool.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that it's so unusually fresh that, I could totally see why people would react to it. Because you don't get a lot of drag queen bingo.
Well, also, you know, it's not something that comes to mind when I first think about it. But I think what's so cool about this whole thing is that, you know, you've taken a game that's been with us for a number of years and just put a different twist on it. And now a younger generation can enjoy this old pastime, if you will, but with a fresher look to it. I think it's really, really cool that you have been able to take this, again, this simple game, and have it evolve. What's always interesting for me is whenever I've played bingo in the past, I'm sure a lot of people have all at least played once, is that you're all excited into it, and when the person wins, you forcefully clap for them, like, oh,
yes,
they won.
Yes.
It's always
even
just
if
like,
you don't mean it.
Even if you don't, because no one means it. Everyone wants to be the one who wins, and the person who wins is so excited, but yet no one shares that with them. They're like, oh,
well, okay,
I
let me say them. I came up with the answer for that years ago.
Okay.
Because I noticed that even at mine, people would win. They would be like, okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And so I said one night, I said, you know what? If you're all so mad about it, just take your bingo cards and wad them up and throw them at the winner. Okay. And they started doing that, and now it is probably one of the things that people take away with them. It's become this whole thing. When you win, you come up, we check your card, and then and everybody else wads up their bingo cards, and you have to run through the entire establishment as people throw their bingo cards at you.
It's very Rocky Horror Picture Show audience participation.
Totally,
I love it.
Exactly. And I had Meatloaf hit me in the head.
Let's
once
see
in
the time warp again.
That's awesome. See, like, to me, that makes it feel like, look, I'm going to get some satisfaction out of this. I lost, but I get to throw this at them, you know?
Well, we also allow them, you know, I shouldn't say this, but we also allow them to boo. And I tell people, here's the order of things. When the person wins, you can boo. When they come up and we've verified they won, then you get to throw your bingo cards at them. After we give them the prize, then you applaud. And they all do it. It's so funny.
Oh,
so by the end, they're all happy for them because they got their aggression out. I think a lot of the stuff that we do has been stuff that over the years something would happen, and I would go, oh, I like that. Let's keep that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of them, I'm sorry.
The spontaneous things that happen collected.
This whole business, and it's interesting, Tony, when you said the part about younger demographic, because I had a couple of things in mind when I started it, and one of them was that I wanted to bring a younger demographic into the world of fundraising, but you kind of, that's a tough sell, especially if every event that, you know, these charities throw are 200, 300, 400, 500, whatever, and they feel like, you know, I can't really afford to do that. So that was one thing, by keeping it really low cost. I mean, it's like $20 to come, and you get all your bingo cards, and, you know, you eat and drink and stuff like that. But it is something that we have brought in. Parents bring their children. I know it sounds odd, but they bring their children to Drag Queen Bingo. And one of the most jarring things for me happened the other night, and a guy came in celebrating his 24th birthday, and, you know, he's been coming for years with his parents. He started coming when he was 9, and turned 24. And I was like, do I feel old or what? But he grew up with this, and he brought his parents for his 24th birthday, and he's a night kid, and he does stuff for charity. And I think that, you know, I don't think any of us can, you know, sit here and say, well, I have inspired everybody to do something. I don't ever want to be that guy, but I do want to say that I believe that when you come to my events, it's really, really fun, and it's really, really stupid, but I make really clear that this is a fundraiser for whatever group this is, and I talk about the group, and I remind them about the group, and, you know, the charities bring in, you know, mailing list things or donation things, and a lot of people have become involved with these various charities over the years because they came to one of our events, and they're like, oh, I really like that. That's something I want to get involved with. So, you know, I think it's been a positive sort of experience for people to want to do more.
Jeffrey, how hard was this for you to get going? And did you do it all by yourself, the very initial stages?
It's funny if you look back, I don't know, you know, somebody who's listening has had their business for a long time. It's sort of hard to look back and remember everything. I mean, there were times when we'd lose our location, or I've done events where 5 people showed up.
Right, right.
You know, we all have had those things, but I have to say that I think the key to it for me was that I just started it, and it just kept going and going. I truly don't believe I could do, to the extent that I do it today, I couldn't start that today. It had to be a progression. So, like anybody out there with a charity, you know, it's one thing to have these grandiose ideas and say, I'm going to start this charity, and our first event's going to have every celebrity in Hollywood. It's probably a better idea to start if you want to start that charity, start it off very realistically, very much like, here's what I can do right now. And then what happens is if you have something that's compelling, then other people want to get involved with it. And
right. To
ask me if I did it on my own, I mean, the real answer to that is yes, because it's
right.
just always been me. But the other answer to that is everybody has done it with me. I have had
right.
so many wonderful people that, you know, have done whatever needs to be done, you know, including the bingo hostesses, because, you know, I don't know if you know much about drag queens, but, you know, their world is pretty much about, you know, going and doing the show and this nightclub and this and that. And for them to be able to, and some of my bingo hostesses, one of them was on RuPaul's Drag Race. He's probably the most famous person ever to be on RuPaul's Drag Race because he threw up on stage and was kicked off the show.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but he's like this guy. I mean, he travels around the world now performing, and he comes back because he's been with me for like 9 years. He comes back because he insists on, you know, doing his bingo duties and stuff. So it's kind of cool to be able to introduce that world into more of a bit of fundraising, you know, showing
mm-hmm.
that they can use their talents and their makeup skills and all that, and it can also benefit, you know, an organization. Like, there are people up here that are, the West Hollywood cheerleaders are a bunch of guys that dress up like cheerleaders, but their entire thing is they raise money for AIDS organizations. Everything they do, they give a portion of the proceeds, or maybe all of it, to AIDS organizations. I think that's awesome because they have
amazing.
A great time. I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
I said that's amazing. You know, I love to hear that.
And that's the other thing. I feel like, still like I'm the lucky guy because I get to work with so many people that have a passion for helping people out. And, you know, I'll do a little name dropping right now. You know, over the years, I guess I should throw this in, we kind of become we're probably the only fundraising drag queen bingo that's been in the National Enquirer.
Really? That's a pretty interesting claim
to
fame.
Yeah, we're a little bit notorious, and, you know, we've been on probably 15 reality shows, and, you know, we're known around the world, and I mean that honestly. I have people that come in from New Zealand and Australia and the UK and France and everywhere, and they'll say, oh, we just knew we had to come to this bingo when we came to West Hollywood. So that's kind of cool that, you know, we've kind of gotten this notoriety. But we get a lot of different celebrities. We call them celebrity guest ball callers. And the first one we ever got way back with Bel Air was Jean Smart, who, you know, it was Jean Smart, and this was 16 years ago, you know, designing women and
mm-hmm,
all
mm-hmm.
of that. And I remember her sitting up there, and it was so casual. She was just sitting on the stool. She's eating a sandwich while she's calling bingo numbers. And I remember thinking, this is kind of cool because it's like she's in her living room with friends. And everybody got to go up and say hi to her, and they took pictures with her. And it was just, it wasn't, you know, a red carpet event, and they weren't being handled by publicists and stuff like that. And that's kind of expanded ridiculously over the years. I mean, we've had every, you know, when I turn on the television or I go see a movie, at least, you know, three or four of the people and everything, and, oh, yeah, they've done bingo. Oh, yeah, they've done bingo. And, you know, we've had Paris Hilton and Anna Nicole Smith, and we just had Florence Henderson. I've gotten to meet all these people that I grew up watching TV because they come and do bingo with us. So, again, I feel like I'm so lucky. Oh, my God, it's great.
I was going to say, how fun is that to be able to meet all these people in doing something so fun, and you're doing something great all at the same time. You have the perfect trifecta there.
I kind of do, and, you know, I'm really impressed with the celebrities that I work with because they don't get paid. None of them get paid, and we don't send limos, and there's no gift bags, and, you know, they come, and I say, I'll feed you and give you drinks, and they, whatever, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, I'll do whatever you want me to do, whatever, and they'll take, you know, pictures, most of them. Some of them I've had to say to them, you know, Florence Henderson was one. I said, you're going to need to leave before this is over because if not, you'll be here for 3 hours because everybody in the place wanted a picture.
Oh, absolutely. I want a picture. And I wasn't
them,
there.
I know. I was the first one. I mean, I was like, I'm going to get my picture out of the way right now before anything happens. But, you know, I respect them. And then we do a lot of events where celebrities are the guests. You know, we just did a baby shower, and we were setting up in this backyard in the valley, and I just looked over, and there's Sandra Bullock. And I thought, there's no way, that's not Sandra Bullock. And there she was in someone's house in the valley at a baby shower, just hanging out. And she, and there was people from Modern Family, and people, there was, I mean, it was, I don't know who these people were that were having the baby, but they obviously have a lot of pull if you can get Sandra Bullock into your backyard for the baby shower. But, you know, we're very respectful. We don't go up and say, oh my God, I can have a picture with you. You know, we're there mm-hmm. to do our job, and that's what we do. And then, of course, we go and tell everybody about it. But, you know, sometimes when the celebrities come just as the guest, I'm very respectful, and I want everybody else to be too. I mean, Amy Adams came recently, and Rachel McAdams, and Mila Kunis, and Michael Cera, and Jonah Hill. They all come, and they know they can be just really comfortable, and that, you know, there's going to be people that are going to walk up and say, oh my God, I love you, but it's very, very casual, and it's not...
not paparazzi style.
No, yeah, and sometimes the paparazzi show up, but, like, I had to take Britney Spears out through the kitchen, because wherever she goes, they go, you know, that happens. But listen to me, I'm just casually telling you.
You're a little name dropper, you.
Yeah, but you know what's so... I got to say, the thing that's so cool about this is that when you do hang out with these types of celebrities or well-known people, when you just treat them like people, I think they appreciate that so much more. And I think the fact that they can actually come to your event and not have to be worried about... am I going to get mobbed by 1,000 people wanting to take a photo or this? Or can I just go there and just play bingo and just have fun?
Right.
And it sounds like what you do is you've created such an atmosphere where everyone that comes to your event is very respectful. Now, I do have a question for you. Do people actually know who's going to be there as a guest ball caller? Or
yes.
They do. So it's like, hey, we're doing an event. Florence Henderson's going to be there. She's going to be our special celebrity guest. And we only have X amount of tickets, so buy them now or don't buy them.
Yeah, and we usually, you know, we'll sell out with somebody like that, you know. And that's a really good point you bring up, because, again, if you have a charity, you know, if someone's listening out there and they have a charity, and of course, I live in Los Angeles, so they're here.
Right.
I mean, they're mostly here. And it's, you know, what I do with the various charities that book events with us, because that's the way it works, is that a charity comes to us and they say, you know, we've got this blah, blah, blah charity, and we would like to participate in a night of legendary bingo. What do we have to do? And we tell them what it is they have to do, which is really easy. I purposely tried to create something that would be as easy as possible for these people. It wasn't my job to create something that they have to jump through hoops, because they already have enough to do, you know. So this was my way of saying, okay, there is something out there. It's, again, it's not going to be your biggest fundraiser, but it's something that where you can connect with people, you can tell people what you do, you make some money, and you know, sometimes it's a very specific thing. They're paying for the surgery for 3 dogs that just came in, or, you know, we've done very specific ones, more private party types, where it was, we've had friends that were diagnosed with cancer, and we'll throw an event to help them with their living expenses because they had to quit their jobs. And, you know, that's a whole different thing.
And honestly, Jeffrey, I feel like even if the in-hand cash reward for that particular night is not this massive amount, you could make your cause so well known with just the marketing of this event that you're doing that you should be able to spin off a variety of other donation for your charity just because of the fact that you're marketing such a fun event that you're having, even if people don't go. Or if the tickets are sold out, tickets are sold out, you can still donate your $20 here online, da-da-da-da-da.
Exactly.
So
what they've got, too, is they've got us, because I have, over all these years, we've created quite a following, and I have in my own email list of over 4,000 people, plus Facebook, plus Twitter, plus our website, plus all of that, and so we have our own followers. So let's say, Janie, you have a charity, and you come to me, and you say, I want to do it with you. All of a sudden, you're into our mix, and when it comes time, I mean, you'll be on our schedule and all that, and when it comes time, that I send an email out weekly telling everybody, everybody hears who this celebrity guest, if there is one, here's who the charities are, here's what happened last week. You know, we take pictures. It's very like a magazine, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, hey, last week at Legendary Bingo, you're not going to believe it, but Amy Adams popped in, and, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you now become part of that mix. And most of the events that we do, these weekly ones, which a lot of them are done at a place called Hamburger Mary's in West Hollywood, they probably 50-60% of the people that come are ours. Like, the charities don't have to get 150 people to come to the event to make it successful. I ask
right.
them to try and get 30 to 40. And I can't, if the event is happening and I look around and I realize the charity only got 5 people there, I still have to put on the event. I don't say, well, sorry, you know, you didn't get as many people. So I put a lot of faith in the fact that the charities are going to do the work that they need to do. And again, it's really simple. Come up with prize packages for each of the bingo games. And I'm very specific about here's what I need them to look like. I also am very specific about the fact, please try and get them all donated. I don't want somebody going out and buying prize packages in order to, it just seems odd. And
yeah.
every charity should be able to have a network of people that they can even send out and say, okay, you go to these restaurants, you go to Trader Joe's, you go to this person, whatever, and try and get them. I don't believe in excuses. I do think that there is a certain charities out there that are so overwhelmed with just what they're doing
mm-hmm.
that it's almost impossible for them to fundraise. I'm here for them because this isn't very hard to do. You
right.
don't have to do a lot. You can be a 2-man team running this entire charity and still be able to pull this off. So I just don't like excuses. I have to be honest with you. I don't like excuses when somebody says, well, I couldn't come up with any prize packages and I couldn't get any people there. I look at it like I don't think
you didn't
you
put
really...
much effort in. Yeah, you didn't put any effort
yeah,
in.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, you guys have this great radio show where, you know, we talk about charities and all that stuff. And the fact of the matter is that it's a big responsibility to have a charity, and you have to take it really seriously. It can't just be based on this emotional thing that happened to you. I lost my mother to cancer, so now I'm starting this cancer charity. It can't be based on that. No one would start a business based on that. Nobody. You wouldn't start it based on an emotional decision. So I wish charities would be a little bit smarter and act like businesses a little bit more.
And I think that's a really great point. And even if you're doing it, you know, not as a 501c3 and you're doing it as a help out your neighbor or your neighborhood or whatever, you do need to take it seriously and you do need to take it as a business. It can be a fun business and it could be something fun and not serious. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is take the action that you're putting together in a serious manner. If it was your company and not just funds you're raising for a friend or whatever, how would you handle it and
exactly.
look at it?
And there's so many tools out there these days. You know, when I started this, there was no Facebook and there was no Twitter.
Right.
And I made my own flyers, like, I mean, really
yep.
bad flyers. And my website was just ridiculous. But I just kept doing it and spreading the word and working it. And now, you know, I sort of have, I have a graphic artist and I have a web designer and I have a publicist. I have all that stuff.
Team.
But I didn't start with that. I started by doing it myself, but I still, to this day, I get up at 6 o'clock every morning, even if I've had an event till like 1 o'clock in the morning. I have dogs that wake me up anyway, but 6 o'clock in the morning, the first thing I do is sit down at my computer, go through my emails, go on Facebook, post if I need to, like just a little like, hey, we're still here. Here's a funny thing. I purposely take pictures and I save them because I think that especially, you know, let's talk to charities and stuff. You should always be connecting with people without it being overkill. Like,
right.
you know, there's something that sometimes charities, I think, go the wrong way. And I mean, when you get these posts on Facebook, and it's, and again, I'm trying to be really sensitive here, it's about abused animals, and they're showing you the pictures of the abused animals.
Horror.
I hate those.
I don't want, I've raised so much money for dog and cat rescues, I tell you, but I don't want to look at the pictures. I don't want to see it.
Right.
And I've done events with charities. We do big, giant events in million-dollar people's backyards and stuff like that, and you know, we have yearly events with charities that, you know, it's 500-600 people, and we have become the biggest fundraiser of the year for a lot of these, but it's on a once-a-year basis in a, you know, different location. But they'll show, you know, a video of those, you know, horrible things, dead horses and things like that, and the people just look away. I personally think that part of being smart and being a smart charity is knowing what compels people. I think the word compelling is like one of the best words in the whole world, because compelling is how do you get my attention and make me want to do something with you, whether it's give you money or volunteer or use my talents, or you guys have a band, like how do I get you to perform for me for free? Honestly, it's going to be you telling me the wonderful things your charity has done.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Not here's these horrible animals that we found, you know, wadded up in a corner. It's more like, because of our organization, we have saved 300 animals. We have reunited them with blah, blah, blah.
Show the happy animals that have been, you know, reunited or...
Or rescued, you know, throughout this. Because I agree that you don't need to show them all the horrific
things. I'm the first one to look away, trust me.
So am I.
I don't... Me too. And I mean, I have a pretty good stomach, but me too. But I have to tell you something. That's what... I've worked with a lot of charities, and I've said that to them. And they said, no, people need to know that there's a real problem. They know. We know. You can... tell them there's a real problem, but they're interested in how are you solving that problem, not that the problem, and how you need them to help you solve that problem.
We can still continue to be sensitive to the cause without the pain of the visual.
Totally. That's exactly
it.
Again,
it makes me feel terrible saying it, but I have to tell the truth, because, again, if this was my company, this is not what I would do. And you made a really good point. Even if you were... if you were doing something for your neighbor and you decided, you know, my neighbor has cancer and I want to help, then honest to God, you have to go, okay, if I was launching a new product, how would I do this? How would I get people's attention? You know, humor is a great way to get people's attention, first
totally.
Of all. Totally. You know, and Drag Queen Bingo, it, you know, just the visual... all I have to do is take a picture of a drag queen, and people go, oh, my God, I totally want to come to that event. I mean, you know, I got it a little bit easy because of that. But at the same time, too, you know, at every event, if I see something sort of compelling that's happening, I take a picture of it. I post it on Facebook. Even if you didn't come to my event, here's what you missed. Come to the next event. Those are the kind of things. I think that's something that charities, when they have their event, you know, have really cool pictures from the event and share it with everybody that didn't come to the event. Because then the next year or whenever else you do it, they're going to go, oh, that's right. That was that one where I saw all those fun pictures. You have to get into people's heads.
Totally. And, you know, you've been doing this long enough to know, after 16 years of success, all the ins and outs. And I love the fact that you're sharing these so-called might be secrets, but these are things that you have seen that have been successful for you. So just you stating these things, letting charities know, saying, hey, you don't need to show us the visuals for us to know that there's a problem, and let's show the event as far as how successful it was, and let's keep it on the positive. And it could be light, it could be humorous. Even though it's a serious subject, you could use something like humor, because, again, here's your a bingo event that happens to have drag queens, and it's more of a fun event, and yet you're raising money for something that is serious, if it's if it's cancer or something. So there's a way to have both, but people want to attend a fun event. They don't want to attend.
Cry. They don't want to cry.
They don't want to cry and go to an event and go like, oh my God, I watched the most terrific video.
No, you're going to be at home getting ready, you know, and you like look over at your wife and say like, oh God, I'm just going to be, it's really going to be sad tonight. You know, okay, let's go. No, you want to be like,
right.
It's going to be so much fun.
I'd be the last one
again,
in the door.
The other thing is the low cost part, because that was something that is really important too, because I think sometimes people price themselves out. And another thing, and I feel like I'm becoming on your show like this, charities do bad things.
No, this is great. I want, before you go any further, I want you to know that what you're doing is fantastic, because
you're
educating
them.
People and you're empowering them to know what they can do on their own and what has been proven successful through what you've already done. These aren't things that you just read in a book. These are things you actually did. So, you know.
There weren't any books.
Right. This is this is priceless information that I think a lot of people really would like to hear. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well,
go ahead.
Okay. So what – wait. Now I'm trying to remember what the one was. What were we talking about? We were talking about having the compelling – oh, I know. Okay. So at my event, it's very structured. Okay. I am, you know, the bingo czar. Okay. I mean, you don't mess with me, and I don't mind saying that because I know what I'm doing. And the charities, when they come in, you know, and they'll say, okay, here are bingo prizes, and I allow them to have like four or five live auction items. And that's the toughest part of the night because I have to stand up there in front of a place where people are eating and drinking. They're not sitting in chairs facing us. They're facing their friends. Mm-hmm. It's loud. We've now, you know, basically told them you need to be as loud as possible. And now I have to stand up there and ask them to shut up and listen to me while I try and do these live auctions. So I've come up with all of these really – just the way I do it. Someone came up to me and they said, oh my God, the way you do live auctions is so good because you actually keep their attention. I have to make it like a stand-up act. I can't be the, you know, all right, everybody, this is really serious now. Shut up. And we're, you know, I start all the bidding at a dollar and I tell everybody they have to bid the opening dollar just to get everybody sort of going. And then I also will tell the charities, no, I will not auction that item off. I reserve the right to say I absolutely... Do you know one time I actually had to stand up there and auction off a vasectomy?
Oh, my.
Are you serious?
I probably
did,
wouldn't bid on that.
I think I was a little bit more amiable. Yeah, a vasectomy. And it was in Florida. Not only was it a vasectomy, but you had to go to Florida to get it.
Well, that's
kind
of odd.
I got $9 for it, okay?
And that's probably all it was worth.
$9 to go to Florida to get a vasectomy. Excellent.
To go to Florida to get a vasectomy. But my point is that I reserve the right to say this is just not something that people are reacting to.
Yeah.
There's certain things that they are reacting to, and there's certain things that they're not. So I will, and I'm not going to go into what is and what isn't, but the point
sure.
is that, you know, people, we go and we do bingo at events where they have a live auction, they have silent auctions, they have all of this stuff going on, and I walk around the silent auction tables, and they've got like 400 silent auction items, and probably 250 of them or 300 are just crap. But,
yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, and nobody, and they have to take them all back. They keep taking, they probably bring them out every year, the same things every year that nobody's bidding on, and they don't think it through. They don't think what kind of things historically, what kind of things have people been bidding on? You know, what are the most popular things? And let's get it again next year. Those are the things that work. I did an event with Lou Adler at the Roxy. It was way, way, way early on. He's the owner of the Roxy, and he's the guy that brought Rocky Horror Picture Show at, you know,
speaking of
America.
One of my
and
favorites.
It was this big celebrity event for the Paul Newman Hole in the Wall camp, Painted Turtle camps. And there, you know, we had Lisa Kudrow and Daryl Hannah and all these like big celebrities up there doing it with me. And the best auction was his seats. I don't know if you ever heard of Lou Adler. He sits next to Jack Nicholson at the Lakers games.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So you know that's, you know, Diane Cannon, Jack Nicholson, Lou Adler. And he did a reverse auction of his Laker seats. And all he did was he had a big giant jar, and he said, write a bid down and put it in. No one knows what the other bids are, and the high bid wins. So nobody knew what anybody else was bidding. I think the high bid was $15,000.
Oh, my God.
Now, what he did was he created this whole mystery around it. You don't know what someone – I thought it was brilliant because, you know – someone could have bid $1,000, and that could have been the high bid, but people just didn't want to take that chance because those were Lou Adler's seats, you know. So little things like that, I think that there's overkill, too. I've done these events where when you walk in, they make you pay, okay, you paid whatever it was to get into the event. Then they're charging you for the bingo cards. Then they're charging you for the raffle tickets. Then they have people walking around that are – it's just too much. Wherever you turn, someone's asking you for money. And it's sort of like that look away thing. It makes you want to look away. Oh, here comes somebody. No, 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 look away. So we won't have to give them another $20. And that's something I think is a problem. Charities need to know when enough is enough. Respect the people that are coming to your events. Don't think of them as every single person at your event is not Daddy Warbucks with this endless wallet that,
right.
that wants to give you money.
You got them there.
Yeah. I think the fact you got them there is really good. Respect them. Give them their money's worth. Again, treat it like a business. If it was like a business luncheon or whatever, you know, you wouldn't charge them for the silverware, you know?
Right, right.
What would you say, you know, I know you didn't want to get into it, but you piqued my curiosity. So I'm sure if you piqued my curiosity, you piqued the curiosity of the listeners. What would you say is one of the best things that people do like to auction off? Is it a vacation? Is it a, you know, what would you say is something is
the clothing
the best?
Okay,
you know, a vasectomy is one of the worst. So let's
say that. I'll say three letters.
Sure.
Okay. VIP.
That's what it is.
It's simple. What do I want to say? It's the
VIP at a concert.
At the Lakers game, it's the, what are the things up above, the suites. It's
the box
seats in a suite with VIP parking. It's, you know, a night at the W Hotel in Westwood with breakfast in bed. And I'm not saying those things are easy to come up with. It's two Park Hopper Disneyland tickets. It's things to do. It's two VIP tickets to the Tonight Show with Green Room. I mean, it's
right.
stuff, it's, you know, it's stuff that as you sit there, think about the two of you, okay? If you sit there and you say, I am not bidding on anything. I have no money. I have no money. I have no money. I have to have that. I have to have that, you know?
Right.
It's, you know, 18 holes of golf at this exclusive golf club with the golf cart and lunch and the thing. And again, not that these things are really easy to get, but those are the things, even smaller VIP things. You know, bowling party at Lucky Strike for 10 people with appetizers for the whole gang. Those are the things. I mean, I have people that come in with 10 laps in a race car. You know, a real Formula One race car. Yeah. And that's stuff that you're like, yeah, oh my God. And others. I'm trying to think. That's usually the biggest one. Sometimes, you know, like a Disney basket of DVDs or a movie studio basket of DVDs, stuff that just seems like it's a little – what they don't want, if you really want to know, they don't want classes, a workout class. Everybody brings in, you know, 10 classes of so-and-so's fitness, and everybody has their own – here's what I'm going to say to you. Everybody has their own hairdresser, their own masseuse, their own gym, and – They don't want anybody else.
Totally
right.
Makes
they
sense.
Want they want the unique things that they normally can't get. Like you said, a ride in a
Formula 100
car going around the laps, or a breakfast with Bruce Springsteen. You know, stuff that you don't normally get every day.
Are you saying that you're looking for breakfast with Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, would you like me to
you
get
have?
You breakfast with Bruce? I don't know him. But
how about Bono?
I'm sure he eats. I'm sure he eats breakfast though. So.
He eats breakfast.
Yeah.
If you get Bono or someone, like, I'm cool. Bono or Sting, Paul McCartney, any one of those.
Well,
I'll have breakfast.
Okay, now see, we're much. I always try to remind the charities too. We're a $20 event. Let's look at it.
Okay.
They'll bring in stuff, and they'll say, and it's worth
$10,000. Yeah, it'd probably cost like $20 million to get a bottle.
Yeah, and I said, you know what? Take it to your bigger event or put it on eBay or whatever, because I'm telling you right now, you're not going to be happy with the outcome. And I mean, I've had some really amazing experiences where people went way over the asking price, but that's mostly they really wanted to support the charity.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that's what the charity is about.
That's a whole different thing. Most of the time. I'm going to throw this in here, and I think that it's important, again, I'm telling, like, you know, secrets that you probably, you know, I don't know how you would want to say to people. I think you have to basically fool people into coming to your fundraising event. Let's just start off with most people do not really want to go to a fundraising event. Because
no.
we
Good
have
marketing.
Had our experience. You know, they call it the rubber chicken event for a reason, okay? And how many... galas can you go to where you have to put on the suit and and then they have the band, and then they make the president makes a 4-hour speech,
and they're
going to
pick
your
pockets after dinner.
Yeah,
and all you do is drink a little bit too much, and you know that's about it.
Go home, bro.
So the thing is, you have to. You're basically fooling people, so it's not a bad thing to make the cause. Not the big giant thing that you're slamming in their face. The big giant thing that you're slamming in their face could be that it's drag queen bingo,
exactly.
or it's a casino night, or it's, you know, disco party on roller skates. And, you know, something, this is so much fun. I really want to go to this, especially with younger people. I truly believe that I have fooled younger people into coming to fundraising events because it doesn't appear to be. And I, you know, I'll even stay in the middle of the night. And again, I open the show with the charity for this show, and I read a paragraph about them, and I say how great they are. I could maybe 10 minutes later say, all right, everybody right now write down on a piece of paper what the name of the charity is, and they'll have no idea, okay? And I accept that. You also have to accept that. Not everybody is just interested in your charity, but if they came and they gave you their money, then they're supporting you.
Right.
They are supporting you in their way.
And you do create awareness for that person once they're there, because they're going to absorb what the cause is in one method or another.
Maybe not that night. Maybe not that night. Maybe really not that night. But then it's impossible to 100% make sure that every single person knows what the heck this is about.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can pass out the pamphlet at the end of the night. Pamphlets end up on the floor. Flyers end up on the floor.
Right.
People don't sign up on mailing lists. I mean, it's just the truth. This is a really, really, really hard thing to do. It, because you're asking, most of us have 500 other things that we already do, and you're asking them to do something that's a little bit out of the ordinary, because it's not, you're not doing it all the time. I personally am doing it all the time. We do five, six shows a week, so we're constantly in the vernacular. It's constantly like, wherever we go, somebody there always says, oh my God, you're the people at Hamburger Mary's, and I came to this event at that person's house and all that. But it's 16 years. I mean, let me say this.
You carved your path.
I earned it.
You totally
I did.
You totally
but
did.
But you have to become that person that people are talking about your charity, and that they are without you doing it, they're also spreading the word for you. You know, it's really important that you also, you know, let's just say this, you have to be somebody that other people want to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I would not recommend
personality
somebody
counts.
Running a charity. Yeah, and I mean, come on. We've all met people from charities that are, you're like, wow, you know, she was in a bad mood. Wow, you know, I know she's working really hard, but, you know, and again, it's like looking at the bad pictures again. You want to turn away from that. You know, if you have a charity and you're not a people person, for God's sake, find a people person to be the person in front of you. Let them work the door. Let them talk to the people. Let them call people back. Let them ask for donations, and you do what you do best, which is saving whatever it is you're doing.
Okay. Right, right. Listen, Jeffrey, I don't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to thank you so much for being part of our show. I want everyone to know how they can get a hold of you, or where they can follow you, where they can attend your different events.
Just keep an eye on your pictures and things, because it's
just
even following
you. I do have great pictures. I
yeah.
Do.
Following
okay.
you would be a blast.
Easy enough. The website is Bingo Boy Inc., BingoBoyInc.com, BingoBoyInc.com. And on there is a schedule of where we are, mostly as much as we can keep up with it. There is a contact. If you want to email me, there are really cool celebrity pictures and drag queen pictures, and there's we did a little web series. I mean, there's just a bunch of stuff on there. It's a lot of fun. Facebook is Bingo Boy Inc. I don't know, whatever you do, / Bingo Boy Inc. And what do you call it? Twitter is at Legendary Bingo. And that's really the ways to contact us. And you could see us. We're doing a couple of ongoing. Just coming up right in July, we're doing the Americana at Brand, which is this really huge, amazing shopping center in Glendale, and we're doing three Thursdays in a row out on the lawns, like a date night for adults and stuff, so we can spread the bingo word. And it's not a charity event, but wherever we go, I hope that even if it's a private party or whatever, we're still spreading the fact that we do, you know, we are Legendary Bingo and we do stuff for charity. And then we're also at the Sunset Strip Market, which is this really cool nighttime kind of farmer's market, craft beer market on Sunset Boulevard every Thursday. We're double booked on a couple of them. So you know what? Look on our website.
There you go. There you go.
I was going to say you have way too many to mention because you're doing about three or four
a
week. Thank you again for being part of our show, and we definitely look forward to working with you.
And the opening the door for everybody on their
you know, on their thought process on what they're putting together.
Well, I hope it helped. I really enjoyed talking to you guys.
Absolutely. And keep in touch with us. Let us know when you have some things that you need people to support you on, because, you know, our people, our listeners are good listeners. They support the people that are on our show. And we definitely want people to know what you're doing, even if it's just peeking at your cool little pictures.
Well, I appreciate it. I think you guys are great for what you're doing, too.
Thanks again, Jeffrey, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. See you later.
And that's our show for today. Thank you for joining us. If you know somebody whose story we should share on Humanitarian Radio, please let us know. Reach out to us on humanitarianradio.com or Humanitarian Radio Facebook. See you next week.
Take care.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.